In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Most dear faithful, we have often begun our time together, these teaching moments together, with a question. And so tonight will be no different. I have a question for you to ponder. Have you ever been so moved by something as to be rendered nearly speechless? Has the beauty or majesty of something defied your ability to find adequate words to describe it? The words of great interest to us tonight, the words that have become the hymns, the acclamations extolling the Blessed Virgin Mary, those words did not write themselves. Rather, they have been the produce of many centuries, centuries worth of words. But words laboriously, lovingly crafted by writers, poets, theologians, hymnographers, inspired saints, all attempting to describe the indescribable, to qualify the unqualifiable, to comprehend the sublimity of the mind of God in bringing forth the Immaculate Conception to be the first tabernacle of the Word made flesh. To compose, to create beauty in honor of the Theotokos, the Mother of God. What is that? It's a tangible desire. It's a tangible desire to love Our Lady. To desire to love her and to truly know her. Not to know about her, but to know her. There have been those, past and present, who would seek to diminish her, to commonize her, but those have clearly never met her, and they can only pretend to know her. So tonight I tell you about Venantius, Honorius, Clementinus Fortunatus. He was born in the year 540 in Treviso, near Venice. He died in the year 609, near Poitiers in France. He was a renowned poet, a renowned poet in his day. He was so renowned, he was considered a bridge, the bridge between the ancient of days, and the medieval Latin poets. He was that accomplished and that beloved. He personally had a devotion to St. Martin of Tours, who died in the year 397. He credited St. Martin for healing a serious eye condition that was threatening his ability to study in Ravenna in Italy. And he was healed of this eye condition. He was able to continue his studies and to develop his skills as a poet. He set out after he had finished his studies to traverse Europe on a slow but calculated journey to the shrine of his patron in Tours. And Tours, of course, was in that Frankish kingdom which we now know as France. Along the way, Venantius developed an admirable following of his poetry. He was admired among kings and queens and high church officials, including Bishop Gregory of Tours himself. He befriended the future Saint Radegunda. Radegunda was the widow of Clotaire I. Clotaire was the son of Clovis, the king of the Franks. Upon the death of her husband, Radegunda took the veil of a religious and eventually founded the Abbey of the Holy Cross in Poitiers in France around the year 560. Venantius became a poet in residence right there in the monastery and secretary to Radegunda until her death in the year 587. And you think, pretty good job to have, to just be a poet. But he was surrounded by faithful Christian women, holy women, over 200 nuns surrounded this poet. His Christian piety grew and his poetry flourished beautifully, influenced by the holy women of the abbey. His soul was so moved that he received ordination to the priesthood. And in the last years of his life, he actually served as the bishop of Poitiers. And he's regarded today as a saint in some dioceses in France and in Italy. His feast day is December 14th. I thought we were going to talk about Our Lady and acclamations. Yes, we are. Because one of this man's most celebrated works proceeded from a blossoming of love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. He first wrote, Quem terra pontus aetera. In the English, you'll kind of you'll maybe recognize the God whom earth and sea and sky. That hymn today remains as the hymn in Matins for the common of the Blessed Virgin. The God whom earth and sea and sky adore and laud and magnify, whose might they claim, whose love they tell, in Mary's body deigned to dwell. How blessed the mother in whose shrine, wherein the architect divine, whose hand contains the earth and sky, did come in human form to lie. Blessed is the message Gabriel brought, blessed by the work the Spirit wrought, from whom the great desire of earth took human flesh and human birth. All honor, laud, and glory be, O Jesus, Virgin born to thee. All glory, as is ever meet, to Father and to Paraclete. Inspired words, the glory of the Incarnation in that very brief work. And from this foundational work came the hymn known as O Gloriosa Domina, the original work. It begins, O Gloriosa Domina, excelsa super sidera, qui te creavit provide, lacta sacrato ubere. O heaven's glorious mistress enthroned above the starry sky, thou feedest with thy sacred breast thine own creator, Lord Most High. What man had lost in hapless Eve, thy sacred womb to man restores. Thou to the wretched here beneath hast opened heaven's eternal doors. Hail, O refulgent hall of light, hail, gate, august of heaven's high king, through thee redeemed to endless life, thy praise let all the nations sing. To the Father and to the Spirit, and to the Son all glory be, who with a wondrous garment of graces encircled thee. Amen. That O Gloriosa Domino, edited slightly in the year 1632 by Pope Urban VIII, renamed O Gloriosa Virginum. O Gloriosa Virginum remains today as a hymn in Lauds for the common of the Blessed Virgin and the Marian feast days. The principal change in it is in its first line, O Gloriosa Virginum sublimis inter sidera, O glorious Virgin, sublime among the stars. It's quite curious, the edited Latin version appears in the breviary of today, but most of the English translations given to us are based on that original text of O Gloriosa Domina. But it really doesn't matter the details of its composition. O Gloriosa Virginum is a brief yet priceless text giving rise to, let's just call them word pictures of the greatest intimacy, which what words on the page or ought to do to give us beautiful images. St. Anthony of Padua, his mother sang the hymn to him in his childhood. He asked for it to be sung to him even as he approached death. That's how beloved this hymn was and is. And in it are beautiful references, and you'll hear them, to the Annunciation, to the Incarnation, to Mary as the new Eve, Mary's title as Gate of Heaven. Her fiat opened the way for the Word to be made flesh, the path to salvation open for all humanity, and the surest path to Jesus, ad Jesum per Mariam, to Jesus through Mary. And so listen now. Listen to the poetic beauty of the glory of God, the love of our Mother, and the surety of our faith as it has been handed down through the centuries. O gloriosa virginum, O glorious Virgin, sublimis intercedera, sublime among the stars, qui te creavit pavulum, lactente nutris ubere, you who created, you nourished the little one with your milky breast. Quod Eva tristis abstulit, what sorrowful Eve took away, tu redis almo germine, you restore by your blessed offspring. Intret ut astra flebiles, that the sorrowful may enter the stars. Celi recludis cardines, you unbar the gates of heaven. Tu regis alti janua, you are the gate of the High King. Et aula lucis fulgida, in the shining hall of light. Vitam datam per virginem, life given through the Virgin. Gentes redempte plaudite, redeemed nations, clap your hands. Jesu tibi sit gloria, Jesus be glory to you. Qui natus este virgine, who were born of a virgin, cum patre et almo spiritu, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, in sempiterna saecula, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.